You're listening to the Next Flight to Spain podcast. Join me for conversations with my favorite chefs, olive oil makers, educators, wine experts, Spain aficionados, and friends. We'll discuss fresh ideas for enjoying Spain on your next trip. Welcome to the Next Flight to Spain. I'm so happy that you're here. Today, we are going to talk more about Madrid. My good friend Melissa was in Madrid last summer. She took a wonderful morning tour with a gentleman named Juan Sarda Fruchtman. She, her sister, and her daughter loved the tour so much, and they were fascinated by Juan's knowledge of Civil War history, that they booked him for a second day, which, knowing Melissa, does not surprise me.
Thank you, Molly.
When Melissa told me this and when we talked about her tour, I knew we had to invite Juan on to join us here at Next Flight to Spain. So I'm so excited that he's here today. I actually reached out to him through his Airbnb experience called Secrets of Madrid, and he graciously offered to join us. His background is fascinating. He was born and raised in Barcelona. As a young man, he came to Madrid to work, and he's been here for 20 years. Or been in Madrid, I should say, for 20 years. His family's still in Barcelona. He goes back and forth. He's worked as a film journalist for some of the best media in Spain. He's also worked for a major Spanish newspaper where he has written about the history of Madrid and its secret sites. He has also published two novels, Dinámica de los Cuerpos Eléctricos and a book called Taksim. He's also created a film called La Crisis, and I will provide links to all of that in my blog at nextflighttospain.com. For the past 3 years, Juan has met people from all over the world and offered tours through his company, Secrets of Madrid. So I hope you are as excited to listen to this chat as much as I am. Melissa has graciously offered to join as co-host today. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Molly. Thank you for having me.
So let's get started. Hello, Juan.
Hello, Molly. How are you? Hello, Melissa. I'm very happy to see you again, Melissa.
Thank you. So excited.
Juan, how did I do with the intro? Is there anything that you wanted to add or share with us about your background?
No, you did it perfectly.
Okay. Well, Melissa and I have so many fun questions for you. What I wanted to share with our listeners today is what it's like to go on a walking tour of Madrid, essentially, and then kind of dive into some fun questions because we have you about Madrid and what you like to do there, maybe some day trips that you like to do outside of Madrid, and just kind of get a feel for all of what you have to offer there. If someone were to come, I know you offer like 4 tours.
Yeah.
We'll touch on that because I know people have a lot of questions about picking tours, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about mapping a group to a tour. Like, okay, this is what my group looks like. I've got kids, I've got adults, you know what, and here's all these tours. How do I pick? So we'll go through that. My first question is, what got you interested in being a tour guide, being that you've come from film and journalism? How did you connect with this role?
Well, as you said before, I was writing for a long time articles about the secret sites of Madrid and the history of Madrid for La Vanguardia, that is a newspaper from Barcelona. And well, the section was finished, which is normal. I mean, because usually those things end at some point. So I had been doing this for almost 4 years and studying the history and seeing the sites because I also made the photos. So when this happened, I was like, well, what do I do with that? You know, I mean, what do I do with all this knowledge? So I also wanted to keep studying, you know, because that's like everything. When you begin to know something, it's when you begin to enjoy it. It's when you begin to want to know more. So I really wanted to keep on that. Then there was another reason that it's very nice meeting people. I mean, you meet people, as you said before, from all over the world. Maybe 50% of them are Americans, but it's very nice meeting Americans. I mean, you learn a lot. In a way, you travel without traveling. You get news from all over the world. People tell you your points of view. You met very nice people like Melissa. I mean, in the human thing is very rewarding. And finally, to be honest, being a journalist these days is tough. In a way, I can complain because I make some money with journalism. That is not bad, but it's very unstable. Mm-hmm. So I really needed, let's say, some extra maybe I didn't need it that much, that like, but I mean, it was good to have more, some more money, you know, not that I was starving, you know, but let's say to live a little bit more comfortable.
One of the things that you love about Madrid is the history of it. And you're an expert.
I'm working on it.
Yeah. Tell us, what are the things that you love most about Madrid?
Well, I think that I am from Barcelona. I've been living here 20 years. So I think that that's an interesting position, because in a way, you know the city well, but in a way, you still have some distance, mm-hmm. you know, that I think it's always good. Relating things. I'm not from Madrid, you know, I'm still a Catalan. So you see, in a way, I think things more objectively. Madrid is a city that was small for a long time. Madrid until 1868 was still a walled city, and was still a city that had around 400,000 inhabitants. So it was not very big. Uh-huh. So what happens in the center of Madrid is that it's a little bit Manhattan in New York. It's a small area in where a lot of important things have happened. Mm-hmm. We have to think that Madrid was founded by the Arabs. So we have all these different layers that are very different. We have an Arab origin. Then we have a huge influence from the Habsburg dynasty. There was a dynasty that was originally from the north of Germany. Then we have the Bourbons, Les Bourbons, the French royal family. Madrid, since the beginning, was a melting pot. I mean, this has always been a city in which lives a lot of foreigners, a lot of people from all over the world. And at the same time, it's very Spanish. It has a lot of personality. Uh-huh. I always say that Barcelona is more beautiful, but Madrid has more personality. Madrid has a strong, very, very strong character. It's a city that it reflects a culture like the Spanish culture that is an icon in the world. And it's like the best reflect of that culture. So that leads us to other places in the world, like America. Obviously, Spain ruled large, enormous areas of America for a lot of centuries. So large areas of Europe for a lot of centuries. So I think that it's very fascinating how in a small area like the center of Madrid, all these very different influence mix and at the same time create something very unique and something very easy to recognize as it is the Spanish culture. So I really like going deep, and I'm still doing the tours and I'm still learning a lot. I mean, if you come to the tour, which I really would like you to do, and Melissa, you are always welcome. So the tour is different of the tour that you saw last year. I mean, the tour has changed because I keep studying constantly. I try to keep it fresh for me also. That is like also an exploration for myself, not only for the people, not to act like a robot, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it's very interesting, to be honest, because you talk about politics, you talk about art, you talk about architecture, you talk about history, you talk about culture, you talk about lifestyle.
That's amazing. Do you find that the conversation changes and ebbs and flows depending on the person that's on the tour? So could be someone from France, could be someone from the US, and they have different interests. And does that drive the conversation and change the tour a little bit, or at least the conversation?
Yeah, obviously. I mean, my tours, the thing that they have is that the groups are small. I mean, it's always... I don't remember the tour with Melissa, but I think we were only the four of us, right? So yes. my tours, mm-hmm. My tours are always small. They are, let's say, a little bit more expensive than usual too. The point of the tour is exactly that. It's to tailor it to every group that you have. Regarding the tour is mainly French and Americans is actually what I have more, because I also speak French. So I have a lot of French people, and in English, the most part of them are American. And Spanish people, I don't have that much. There is a big difference, yes. The European people tend to be more skeptical. The European people, it's not that they are not nice. because I'm not saying that. It's just that they have always a more or less, I don't know, Americans get excited, Americans get into the mood, Americans get more moved by things, you know, they are more easily surprised. I like the comparison between a young man and an old man. America, the US is a young country. In a way, it's naive too. It doesn't have all the burden that we have here in Europe. Things are not as heavy, you know, and as full of a harsh significance as they are sometimes in Europe. So American people tend to see the world more like a young person, you know, more in an optimistic way. There is like a more in a light way. I say that in the good sense. European people tend to believe less in things, tend to have like a distrust more from things. They always try to look what's wrong in every situation. And there, the attitudes, yeah, the attitude between European people and American people is very different.
We feel that here with our colleagues that we work with at our various companies that we've been at. We have colleagues from all over the world, and you can see in the discussions we have here the difference. And I do always feel like I am one of the more optimistic people in the group, but I like being kind of settled down by my European colleagues because they add in a layer of reality. You know, they know the history behind some of the things that I might be interested in, and they know the harsh history, like you said. So they'll say, well, that's all great that you love that, but here's the background and here's why we're not so excited about it. For example, when I was in France, I was really excited to go to this amazing hotel and stay near the Champs-Élysées. And when I came home and told people where I'd stayed, they said, we cannot believe you stayed there. And I said, why? And they said, that was the German headquarters during the war. Nobody stays there. Yeah. And I was like, oh, goodness, we loved it. We were the only ones there.
That happens. I mean, that's what makes also a lot of times things harder in Europe. I mean, a little bit sometimes it's like the what you were saying, you know, that with your colleagues, European colleagues, that they tend to be more settled or more realistic, if you want. Well, when you get old, you get more wisdom in a way, but you lose some energy. I mean, maybe, I don't know, the perfect person would be a half of it.
Yeah.
Person would be somebody that has the energy and sometimes the craziness of Americans of doing things, you know, without thinking so much. And this down-to-earth, settled attitude that the Europeans have.
Mm-hmm. That's part of what we found so fascinating about Juan's tour. When my sister and my daughter were on, the three of us were on the tour, you know, you'd walk past a building, it's a regular building, and then Juan would say, oh, well, look at the face of the building. See those holes? And then he would tell us, you know, oh, back, you know, at this time, there was this terrible incident that happened. And, you know, we would have just walked past all these buildings that just looked so normal and regular that you don't even notice them, but there's so much, there's such a either sad or happy, just amazing story behind these small things that that go unnoticed every day. Yeah. So anyway, that's part of why we love the tour.
In Madrid, really, there is every corner of the center of Madrid has a history. Yes. I mean, there is a story or even a history in big capital letters. I mean, big events. You know, sometimes it's just a small event. And that gives some density to things, obviously. That gives some gravitas. It's not the same to be in a place where nothing happened ever than to be in a square where a half of the history of Europe has gone through. And that's good in a way. And in a way, as I'm telling you, that makes sometimes that things in Europe are slower than in the U.S., there is much more remorse between people. Sometimes it's harder, the Catalans and the people from Barcelona, the people from Madrid. There is a long history of battles and conflicts. So it gets harder sometimes to start something new because all this history is there and it's a little bit of a backpack, you know, that you carry, you know, that is very heavy, you know, and doesn't allow you, let's say, to go up the mountain, you know, in a lighter way.
Right. That's an interesting way to look at it. I like that. Well, tell us about some of your tours. So you have four tours, and can you break it down for us, or do you want to just focus on a couple?
No, I can tell you a little bit about each one of them. I have four tours, to be honest, also because it's boring to do the same tour every day. I mean, there is a reason, you know, to make it for me more different, you know, because if you have only one tour and every day doing the same thing, it's a little bit boring. Also, as I'm telling you, I have four tours because I do that as a way of exploring, as a way of discovering. So each tour allows me to study more. Most recent tour that I just opened, that is called, all of the tours are called Secrets. It's called Secrets of the Golden Century. And it's focused on the 16th and 17th century, that are the times of the Spanish Empire. So on that tour, I go to a different area that is called El Barrio de las Letras, the literary quarter, and where lived all the writers. I've read some, obviously, but I'm reading more thoroughly the big writers of Spain of the 16th and 17th century, and studying more carefully that period. I'm knowing new areas. So that keeps it interesting for me, and I think that at the same time people can feel that. So this tour is Secrets of the Golden Century. There is this high moment of arts, literature, Cervantes, Quixote, the Quixote, Velázquez, Las Meninas. The theater of Madrid was considered to be the best theater in Europe. So it's a very, very fascinating period in the history of Madrid. It's the times of Baroque. The Baroque is a culture that shapes very much the Madrid mentality. Then Secrets of Madrid, that is the most popular tour by far. Secrets of Madrid, the good thing is that, what is Secrets of Madrid? Well, Secrets of Madrid is what you want it to be. Mm-hmm. So the good thing about Secrets of Madrid is that it allows me to keep changing it. No, <yes. laughs> I mean, it's true. It allows me, you know, to do what I want. Let's say it's a basic tour, but you can explain the basic in a lot of ways. So the Secrets of Madrid tour allows me to, let's say, not to be constrained, you know, not to have like a pattern that I have to follow, and be creative about the tour, change it, try new things constantly. And Secrets of Madrid basically is an overview from the beginning until now.
Okay.
You know, which is hard because you're beginning in the 9th century, in the 860, when the city is founded by the Arabs, and it's over 1,200 years, you know, it's a long time. And then it's the Secrets of the Civil War.
Okay.
Secrets of the Civil War is about the Civil War, Franco Civil War, 1936, 1939. It's obviously a fascinating, horrible story. It completely, Secrets of Madrid, and obviously the Golden Century, is more focused on the past history. So Secrets of the Civil War is more about late 19th century, early 20th century, now, you know, the modern period. So it's like more, let's say, recent events, in a way more hurtful, also more present. And then there is another one that's called Secrets of Retiro Park. That is a tour on the Retiro Park that is not very successful, to be honest.
It is or is not? What did you say? I'm sorry.
It's not. No, Secrets of Retiro Park, I don't do much. I don't know why. I love the Secrets of Retiro Park.
That's funny. Well, what's the highlight of that tour that you could maybe get somebody excited about it?
For me, it's the best tour for me because you get a walk around the park. That is always very, mostly in the summer. Madrid is very hot in the summer, so like unless you get to get some shade, that's good. And Secrets of Retiro Park, let's say the Retiro Park was founded in 1630 at the end of the Spanish Empire. And the Retiro is very important in the Napoleon Wars. That allows me, let's say, to be more specific on those times that go from the end of the Spanish Empire, the arrival of the Bourbons, the French dynasty, and Napoleon.
Wow, that sounds fantastic. That's another example where we walked around. My sister, you know, had wanted to walk around the park. We probably missed 99% of the really interesting history that was there. And it's a stunning park, like Central Park or Golden Gate Park. It's amazing.
Retiro Park is really a very, very fascinating place. I think that people just don't book it because they think, oh, it's a park, you know, so what's there to be seen? But there's a lot, because Retiro Park was a private garden of the king. There are a lot of hidden monuments, of hidden corners, of meaningful places. It was the headquarters of the Napoleon soldiers during the war against Napoleon. So it's a place that where actually pretty interesting things have happened. You know, it's not only like a place where people went there and had fun, you know? It's much more than that.
Well, you have these four tours, and now I want to do the Retiro Park tour with you. And I have some friends in Spain who I think would really love to do that tour with me.
I do one tomorrow, so if you want, you guys,
maybe come over. Yeah. Is there a tour that you have in mind, like for my next tour? Is there one that you're thinking of, or are you scheming a little bit to a new idea, or are you, is that a secret?
No, it's not a secret. I always have, you know, I always have a lot of tours in mind, you know, because I would like to do a tour about churches. That's a tour that I'm thinking about opening, you know, understanding churches. It's very fascinating how you see a church and you see all these things, these guys and all these paintings and altar pieces. And, well, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But they do make sense. I mean, when you begin to go on to detail, okay, this is San Antonio. San Antonio is here because of that. And this is a shell because it's a symbol of the Camino de Santiago. This is Justo y Pastor, that are two martyrs. This is the shield of the Pope. So there is a lot of art in churches. That's one of the tours that I really would like to start. You know, like I'm working on that actually.
Oh, cool.
No, churches are, I mean, are very complicated because they're very, how would I say, the compositions are, there are a lot of things.
Yeah, definitely. And the intricacy of the stories that comes into play with each of these small symbolic things throughout the church, whether it's a physical item that you can pick up and touch, or something that's painted on a wall, or an image that's been carved, or whatever it is. It's incredible to hear the stories behind all of those things. So I think a church tour would be fascinating. So Juan, thank you so much for telling us about your tours. They sound wonderful. I can't wait to come to Madrid, maybe even with Melissa, and do a tour with you.
I will be so happy.
Yeah.
You are always, always very welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I remember your blue-eyed sister. What was her name?
she'll love that.
Florida, where you live, right?
Precisely.
Yes. Yeah, I remember your beautiful daughter very well. No, I do remember. Yeah.
Oh, that's so kind. Juan would go through and he would give us a fact at the beginning of the tour. He'd say, oh, well, you know, in, you know, 1700, this happened. And then like a half hour later, he would say, Lauren, what happened in 1700? And she would say,
that's awesome. Yeah.
Only Lauren that got quizzed.
Poor Lauren.
I'm sure she did great. She's a very smart girl.
Yeah. She loved it.
Oh, I bet. Well, so let's finish with some quick questions, because when people call me and ask me about traveling through Spain, they often will ask me very specific things like, well, if I am one night in Madrid, what bar should I go to? What restaurant should I go to? So can we ask you some of your favorite things? Do you mind?
Yeah, I mean, well, that depends on, obviously, on how many days you have.
I mean,
if you come for one day.
Nobody comes for one day, really, to Madrid.
Yeah, you'll have to go to the Puerta del Sol, to the Plaza Mayor, to the Royal Palace. Again, I mean, the center of Madrid, you can see it actually quite quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't want to, if you're not interested, what we were saying before, and what it means, if you're not interested in, let's say, go a little bit beyond the surface, you know, the center of Madrid is obviously quite small, but beyond, let's say, the basic things. There's a lot to do. I mean, the museums are amazing. Prado Museum is one of the best museums in the world, for sure. One of the top five museums of the world. It has the best collection of 17th century paintings in the world. You will see there Velázquez, but you will see there Bosch. You will see Rubens. You will see Rembrandt. You will see Murillo, Ferran, and Goya, obviously. So Prado Museum, I would say, for me, is the most interesting thing of Madrid. And it's like the biggest treasure of Madrid. Then I really think that if you come to Madrid, you have to go out at night. Mm-hmm. And I really mean it. I mean, yeah. I really think that going out in Madrid is something that you have to do in Madrid because it's very Madrid. I mean, the Madrid lifestyle is a lifestyle of going out, of socializing. It's very easy to talk to people. Madrid is a very open city. I mean, it's a city where people are always willing to make friends or to talk to you. So I really think it's important to go to terraces, to go to clubs, to be honest. I mean, Spanish people, we do good parties, mm-hmm. which might sound ridiculous, but not everybody knows how to do parties. Uh-huh. You know, it's true. I mean, not everybody knows how to have fun.
Yeah.
And to Spanish people have a great thing, and is that they enjoy the present. Uh-huh. And that's a very good thing about Spanish people. You know, Spanish people have a great capacity of enjoying things. You know, they are going out, they're just going out and having fun, you know, and it's not worries about, you know, oh, tomorrow, or what will happen in 2 weeks, or what will happen in 2 months. So that makes it like a very lively and a very cheerful. You know, there's a lot of joy sometimes in Spain.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite neighborhoods to, like, if you go out with your friends, what's your favorite neighborhood to go out to at night?
That has changed because I'm not young anymore. I'm not old, but I'm not a kid anymore. So, yeah, it has changed. At first, it was Malasaña when I was young. Malasaña is north of Gran Vía. Malasaña used to be the area of the middle, of the Madrid middle class. And right now it's more like the Brooklyn, like a hipster, young, creative area. Malasaña has gentrified. It used to be like more rock and roll. It used to be more like punk rock. Uh-huh. And right now it has become more, everything is more cute. You know?
Oh, okay.
But yeah, but Malasaña is still is a place that has a lot of personality. Lavapiés in the south, that it's the multicultural area. Lavapiés used to be the poor area of Madrid. Right now is the more political, artistical, creative area. I like a lot Chamberí. Chamberí, it's close, it's in the north of Malasaña. Chamberí is more bourgeois. Chamberí is a little bit more classy, more elegant. Definitely Barrio Salamanca, close to Retiro Park, where are also Serrano Street with Gucci, Prada, Fendi, etc. It's a beautiful area. Those would be maybe my favorite.
Your first choices. I love it. Those are some great options. And I think I have nieces and nephews that travel through Spain that would like some of the younger areas that are more club, you know, with clubs and bars, and then
Malasaña,
yeah. And then I have family and friends that would like the more the upscale areas to try those too. And
Chamberí, Barrio de Salamanca, La Latina is very close to the center. It's La Latina is where I live. La Latina is a very, it's a nice area. La Latina, let's say, is a little bit between Malasaña and Barrio de Salamanca. It's more bourgeois, but it still has, let's say, a bohemian and an artistic flavor that I really
like. I love that. La Latina sounds like a wonderful place to visit. I'd love to check it out. Well, Juan, thank you for sharing all of your insight into Madrid neighborhoods with us. I know for newcomers, it's tricky sometimes to know where to go when you're in a big city, especially if you're new, and you've offered some wonderful ideas. And I know Melissa and I could keep you here forever. But that you also don't have endless time. So we haven't talked about your upcoming projects. You're completing your third novel and you're working on a film.
I'm working on my film project and the tours at the same time, which is being kind of fun, you know, because I'm mixing my whole two worlds and I'm very happy about it.
That's awesome. I'd love to have you on a future podcast to talk about these projects.
Yeah.
But before we let you go, sadly, do you have any closing thoughts for us today?
I would recommend everybody to visit Madrid. Madrid is a city that right now, that during the last 20 years, has gone through a lot of change. Madrid has modernized. Madrid has completely renovated. And I think that there is one very good thing about Madrid, that is a city that has right now a lot of energy. And Madrid is right now a city that really wants to open to the world. Madrid is a city that really wants to have position and to have, let's say, to matter in the world. And I think that when they come here, they will find a city in which people are really eager, you know, to show it to people. They will find a society in which it's easy, as I said before, to make friends, and a city that is growing in every sense. And I think that foreign people make Madrid grow for sure.
Wonderful. That's a great way to wrap things up. Thank you so much, Juan.
Well, if you'd like to check out Juan's tours, please visit Airbnb's Experiences, Secrets of Madrid. We will post the links to your books and to your film and then to your future pieces when they're published on my blog at nextflighttospain.com. So look for it there. We really appreciate you joining us today here, Juan. This has been so much fun hearing from you. And Melissa, thank you for co-hosting. That was fabulous.
So glad to be with you both. Juan, I feel a certain urgency now to get back to Spain, like in the next couple of months, so that I don't miss any tours.
That's wonderful.
Melissa, I will be very, very happy to see you. Say hi to Lauren.
They're both said their very best, and we're looking forward to seeing you again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I've enjoyed being your host here at Next Flight to Spain. Subscribe to my blog at www.nextflighttospain.com, and I'll let you know when our next episode is coming out. Until then, I hope you've enjoyed this podcast and that it's given you fresh ideas for enjoying Spain on your next trip.